Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. It is a fact that the calling of a true Christian is not an easy one. It's not easy. It does have some test. It does have some trial that comes with it. It's not easy, but there's a reason for that, and it's a very good reason. Let's look at Matthew 7 to start with today and see something that Jesus Christ said. There is a reason why there are tests and there are trials, but again, it's for a very good purpose, as we'll see. And if you have a Bible handy, please get it out. We can look at these passages together. And again, we'll start here in Matthew 7. Here's some instruction from Jesus Christ. Matthew 7 and verse 13. He says, "Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." So the way of most people, the way of the world, is this broad way. It leads to destruction, but it's the more used way. It's the popular direction that people would go in. But it's not the way that God has for his people. Verse 14, it says, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it." So while most people are running headlong into the broad way because it's the way everybody goes, God's people have to go in a different way, the straight gate. It's narrow, it's straight, it leads to life, but there are some challenges within that path. Now, of course, there's plenty of challenges in the other path as well. It does ultimately lead to death and destruction. So it's not like it's a good way to go, the broad way, but it is the way that is probably the path of least resistance. It seems like the most natural way to go. God has a different way for his people to go, and there are some challenges within it, and there's a reason for that. Notice this quote. This is from Lesson 24 of the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. It's from the editor section. And this Bible course is free. You can sign up for it at thetrumpet.com, and we'd be happy to enroll you in that. And again, it's a free course. This quote says, "Our calling is not easy. Considering how much God is going to give us, could it be otherwise?" And that's ultimately the main point here. God's going to give us so much. He already does, but there's a great future ahead. And so because of that, there has to be some tests. There does have to be some challenges, because what's being offered to us is so amazing. The quote continues, "Was it easy for Christ to offer his bloody sacrifice in order to make it possible to bring mankind into his family?" And of course it wasn't. He endured the hardest trial ever, the most difficult task he ever had to do and probably will ever have to do. I mean, it's amazing what Jesus Christ went through, and God the Father as well. The Father suffered even more because he had to put his Son through that on our behalf. But they had this vision in mind of a family that they wanted to build. It's such a great vision, and they were willing to go through some pretty difficult things to achieve that vision. And that's the same for us. God has an incredible vision for us, an incredible plan for us. And there are some tests and trials along the way, and they're needed to shape us, to mold us, to direct us. And they've done a lot for us. They've done everything for us. And so we have to also have an attitude of being willing to work with God and let him direct us and lead us. And, you know, sometimes there are some tests and trials along the way. The quote finishes by saying, "They went all out, and the blood of God in the flesh was spilled on this earth." After all they have done, can we endure some hardship to fulfill the job God is offering us? Now, of course, tests and trials are not easy, but we have to see the picture of what they're leading to. What is that job? What is God offering to those who he is calling? Well, it must be quite amazing, right? Since it does require some hardship and lots of training. There's plenty of jobs in this world, even where people really want the job because it's such a great job, and they have to go through a lot to get qualified for it. That happens all of the time in the physical sense. But this is an even greater job than anything on this earth. And we get a little bit of a picture of this as we go through some scriptures today. Let's look at a few things that talk about the job that God has for us. And that gives us a better picture of why we go through some tests and trials today. We see what we're preparing for. Let's look at Zechariah 8. Zechariah 8 and verse 23. It says, "Thus says the Eternal of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass." He's talking now about after the return of Jesus Christ. "In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all the languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." So this is a picture of our future job. This is what will happen, where there'll be people come and say, we know that you know God's way. We want to learn that. Can we go with you? Can you teach us? And so we have to be ready to do that. Imagine what that would be like even today if we were just walking down the street and you had a bunch of people that ran up and said, you know, can you teach us? Can you show me how to live? That would be quite a shock today, but that's the way it's going to be. Again, the correspondence course says, God calls the very elect, those in his church, spiritual Jews. That's what we're called, Revelation 3 and verse 9. And again, that harkens back to what we just read there in Zechariah 8 about people taking hold of somebody that is a Jew and saying, we will go with you. Spiritual Jews, people that obey God, that follow his laws, that follow his government. The quote says, "Think of the awesome demand for teachers there will be in a very few years." There's this awesome demand for teachers. We're going to be in high demand. And that's true even today in some ways in the world where, you know, if somebody's a good teacher, they're usually in pretty high demand because they can positively impact a lot of people. And you might think back in your own life on teachers you've had, and you know, there's probably a few that stand out that really impacted you and they helped you. And you think about how valuable that was. Well, that's just a little picture of what we're preparing for. God is calling and training teachers today. And so the reason new teachers are needed is because, well, today the world is learning false ways. There's false education. Notice Isaiah 2. New teachers are going to be needed. Godly teachers are going to be needed. Isaiah 2 and verse 4, it says, "And he shall judge among the nations." Again, this is talking about that time after Christ returns. "He shall judge among the nations. He shall rebuke many people." There is going to be correction to get the world going in a proper direction. It says, "And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." They're not going to learn war anymore. Well, what does that tell us? It's a great picture of the future, but it also shows us that the education will be different then, because currently people do learn war. War is what is taught. Military war. There's war in families. There's internal war against people's own selves with addictions and problems. And of course, there's war against God's law and government. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's hostile. It wars against God's law and government. So war is being taught today. And the reason for that is that Satan is the god of this world. You can read that in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. So he broadcasts war. He broadcasts that hostility, that hatred. against God, and really against everyone. But here Isaiah writes of a time when people won't learn war anymore. Instead, they're going to learn the ways of God. So someone will have to teach people how to live God's way. They'll have to teach them, and that teaching will occur on a global scale after the return of Jesus Christ. That's a lot of people that will need to be instructed and need to be taught. And so God calls his people today to learn to be teachers. And we can see here there's a principle of how God builds his family. Notice Ezra 3. Ezra 3 here, we get a building principle, and we get a picture here of how God builds. Ezra 3 and verse 1, it says, "And when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Verse 2, then stood up Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel, to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God." That's what was built. They built the altar. And then verse 3, "And they set the altar upon his bases." So the point here is that God builds his ministry. That's what's being symbolized here. God builds his ministry first before calling people into the temple. There was a way that God built, and that's the way he's building today. The correspondence course notes, "The first fruits, those that God is calling and working with today, will be God's king priests, his altar for all eternity." And so today God is building his altar before he builds his temple in the world tomorrow. Again, talking about that millennial reign of Jesus Christ. It says we need to be getting ready. We need to be getting ready because when people emerge from the worst suffering this world has ever known, talking about the Great Tribulation and the Day of the Lord, they will need to be taught. And they'll be ready to be taught, having come through such an intense trial, such a difficult time. They'll be ready to be taught, so they'll need teachers. They'll need teachers, and as we read there, we need to be getting ready to teach. So again, when we keep that vision in mind, it helps us understand why there are some tests and trials today and why God allows that. It's because it's used to help prepare us to teach. We have to be allowing God to prepare us to teach. Are you allowing that in your life with your day-to-day activities where God's directing you and bringing up certain things to help you to grow and to change? We have to allow God to prepare us to teach. So the reason, again, that we're tried and tested at times in this life is because of the awesome responsibilities God is preparing us for. This is important, and it's important to keep this overview in mind as we go through our lives. There's a reason and there's a purpose for what God is doing with us. And we can see a great picture of this future here in the book of Revelation, if you'd like to look at Revelation 20. Here's a prophecy of what that future for us will be like. And we've read some of it already, but notice this in Revelation 20 in verse 4. It says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. 1,000 years, that's that millennial rule of Jesus Christ, and you have people here that are now able to teach. They're now in the God family at that point, actually born into the kingdom of God at that point. There's thrones there. There's those that sat upon them. They judge, right? They teach. Verse 5, it says, "For the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished." And that resurrection there at the beginning of the 1,000 years, that's the first resurrection. That's what we're getting a picture of, those that are in that first resurrection. Verse 6, it says, "Blessed and holy is he that has part in that first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power. But notice, they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And then, of course, it goes on from there. But that's what we're being prepared for. In this 70 or 80 years of physical life, typically, God is preparing his people for 1,000 years of teaching. It's a teacher's college, God's church is often called that. We get an amazing education in a pretty condensed amount of time. I know 70 or 80 years seems like a lot to us, but when you compare it to 1,000 years, it's not. When you compare it to eternity, it's not. See, it's a powerful education. We get it quickly, and then the plan moves forward. That 1,000 years then is just another beginning, because God's kingdom will continue to expand, and so teachers are needed for that 1,000-year time period. That's what we're being prepared for right now. And if we can keep that overview in mind, it helps us with our day-to-day trials and tests that come up. And thankfully, we don't usually have big trials and tests all the time, but they do come up. It's not easy, but when we can keep the big picture in mind and realize that God's using those to prepare us for this incredible future, I think that helps us keep the proper perspective. God needs teachers, and he's preparing his teachers today. Correspondence course says after that, after what we've read here in Revelation 20, this time period, that 1,000 years, it says God is going to resurrect multiple billions of people, probably more than 50 billion, when you consider all that have lived and died. They're going to be resurrected in the great white throne judgment. God needs help for all this work, and he needs you. You know, if you've been called and God's working with you, he needs you to work with him so that you can be prepared for this incredible future. It says Christ needs a helpmeet, and he is making that opportunity available to you. It's a great opportunity. I mean, it's the greatest opportunity that there is. So the Christian life is not an easy one, right? It does have some tests and trials. It is that straight gate. It is that narrow way, but it is preparing us for this amazing job of being a teacher and helping to teach people to also then learn how to grow and prepare and develop to enter that family of God as well. That's an overview we need to keep in mind as we go through our day-to-day lives. There's more about this in the correspondence course. It's free at thetrumpet.com, and you can sign up for it there. This is lesson 24 in particular that we're talking about today. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thank you for spending some of your time with me today. And until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.